Hi, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Give us a second to get here. Okay. Let's take a moment at the start of class today to get a little centered and settled. We're going to be looking at ritual as a coaching tool, and always it's good to have as much presence as possible, but especially on the topic of ritual. So, wherever you are, if it's comfortable for you, I invite you to close your eyes. I'm closing mine. If not, keep them open, go inward. And give yourself the gift right now of taking some moments to arrive. To bring all of you here. To come back home to your body, so that you can open up to receive exactly what you're meant to receive. And maybe as we take these few moments right now, you can even feel yourself just a little more and a little more coming back home to your body. And maybe feeling yourself just a little bit more opening and opening. In order to receive. And taking a moment with your heart, and bringing your heart into all of this with you, for you. Taking a moment with your belly, bringing your belly, your intuition, your ability to digest all things, bringing that into this with you, for you. Maybe placing a light hand on your throat. And bringing your voice forward even more with you and for you. And then taking a nice deep breath in and out. And opening your eyes if they're not already open. Okay, so Before we dive into one of my very favorite topics, looking at ritual as a coaching and transformational tool, a couple of things. First is a quickie. Next week is our last class. It's our last official Sacred Depth session, and we're going to be doing some really big work in that session. We are the first part of it. We're gonna take some time to go step by step by step to look at how to lead a next steps call with a client. So this is for clients that are coming to the end of their coaching cycle with you, that you feel it might be aligned for them to continue. How to hold space for them to make the best decision, empowered decision for themselves to continue working with you. It's a little bit different than an enrollment conversation when someone hasn't yet worked with you. And so we'll look at that step by step and also look at some pieces of when you might not want to invite someone to continue working with you. We'll also look at a last session if you're not inviting someone to continue and how to kind of wrap up your work together. And then from there, we're going to do our wrap-up work together. And I'm going to lead us through just a really beautiful process that will help us really honor these 10 months that we've all devoted and shown up for. And I think you're really going to love it. And then I have a little special something gift from my heart to yours at the end. We have a little bit of a longer class next week in order to do all of this. Just looking at the calendar, we're going to meet from 11 to 1:30 Eastern. So 2.5 hours. So hopefully that's already on your calendar. Some of you already in November started asking about the Embody program and if that was still an option. Some of you had heard about it in different ways, and I couldn't give you an answer yet in November, mostly because I was still figuring out my calendar and my priorities for 2024 and into 2025. I just needed a little bit more time for that clarity to drop in. The clarity has dropped in. And because Embody is a program that's so dear to me, I am going to be creating space in my calendar for it over this next year. And I want to spend just a couple of minutes right now briefly sharing about it with you, because it is such an easy, low cost, high value way to continue our work together and to continue to receive support from me and the incredible Sacred Depths alumni community. It's a easy way to continue to be in the container and to continue to integrate everything that we've been learning in Sacred Depths, as well as your own inner work. Before I go any further, for those of you that are going to be joining me for advanced steps, and we still have a couple spots left if you're still thinking about it, but if you're joining me in advanced depth, you get the full Embody program completely for free, my gift for you, if you want to participate in it. If you don't, that's also fine, but it's there for you as a gift. So basically, in the 10 months of Sacred Depths, you know, we look at so much, you receive so much, and maybe a little too much, just because the material and the curriculum is so rich and so layered. There's so much here. And a lot of graduates want more time and space with it and to be able to work with this curriculum of these 10 months more deeply. The truth is that my secret dream from day one, from the very first time I offered Sacred Depths till now, my secret dream has always been for this program to be at least 2 years, if not three. And in that time, I wouldn't add new content. That's for advanced steps. But instead, we would have luxurious time and space to get to more of the nuances and the details inside of the content that's already here, right? So that you can move to even greater mastery on the skills of sacred depths, and also so that you can go deeper into your own personal work through the skills. So, for example, imagine the opportunity to go deeper into the nuances of questioning skills so that you embody all of your questioning skills even more, become even more masterful at creating questions that activate breakthroughs for clients. But not only that, what if you also had the container to go deeper into asking yourself more potent questions and to ask yourself more potent questions more consistently? Or imagine the opportunity to spend more time with the topic of radical self-love, to be able to explore and master the topics inside of that module that we breezed through a little bit, like the connection between love, self-care, and money, or somatic techniques for being able to receive. So much gold and magic are tied up in the details and the nuances, and then in the practiced embodiment of the sacred depths, skills, and techniques. And I think that's one of the reasons why sacred depths graduates have really loved and valued embody. Again, it's not about new content. It's about going much deeper into the content you've already received. And it's not a review. You have these our recordings for life, right? You could just listen to those recordings for a review. Although honestly, once you're done with sacred depths, it's oftentimes without a container. It's even if you have the best of intentions, it's hard to make time to listen to the recordings. But that's not what embody is. It's not a review. It's a deep dive into selected topics of sacred depths where you get more of the nuances, more of the details, and then opportunity to practice the techniques. So we're looking at the sacred depths content, but we're going deeper. And I'm giving you different options, also different ideas for the techniques. So, you know, as an example, over this last year in Embody, I taught an even more powerful way of the stretch, risk, or die exercise. Remember that one? Many months ago. Or another example over this last year, as we were in Embody, as we were doing a deep dive on visioning skills, we also looked at a whole new subtle aspect of visioning skills that we don't cover in sacred depths. Okay, so how does it work? It's very simple. The main pillars of the program are 5 mini retreats over a year, starting in April. So those are mostly 4-hour retreats about every 10 weeks, where we do a deep dive on a selected sacred depths topic. So we're not covering all of the sacred depths topics. Each year in Embody, it's selected topics. And in those, for this coming year, here are the topics that we're looking at in those mini retreats: strategizing skills, and along with that, transforming your inner workhorse. We're going to look at the archetype of that as we go deeper into strategizing skills. We're going to do a mini retreat on accessing your intuition and your client's intuition. And part of that is going to be going deeper into the 4 levels of learning and processing. We're going to do a mini retreat on the belief bridge technique, which is a more advanced version of the rewiring thought patterns technique. It involves the whole body. It's really, really cool. And it also brings in some of the myth of perfection techniques that we've learned as well. We're going to do a mini retreat on going deeper with radical self-love. And then finish out the year on a breakthrough questions think tank. So if you only want to devote time to those five mini retreats, that is already, I think, more than the value of the program itself. Some people only come to those mini retreats. If you want more of an ongoing container, you also in Embody get homework to support all of the learning from the mini retreats. You get continued access to our two community calls each month that you've had access to in Sacred Depth. So can continue to bring forward your business questions, your client case study questions, anything that you have for me. Continue to do blueprinting each month. And then the little copywriting exercises we've been doing there. And then you also get access to one practice call a month where you get paired with a partner on the call and practice a technique. There are also bonuses in Embody. So the first is, even though it doesn't, for you, it wouldn't start until April. That's when the next mini retreat is. You would get access to all the ongoing community calls and practice calls in February and March. So that's an extra 6 calls and 2 months of support. And then you also, anytime I do little things throughout the year, you get access to it. So for example, in the beginning of February, I'm doing a private training on how to put together preview presentations for marketing for your work and your programs. So things like that pop up throughout the year. The prices, if you pay in full, it's $2,080 for the whole year. Or if you want to break that up into monthly payments, it is only $139 a month for 15 months starting this month. It goes April through next March, but you also get February and March this year of those bonus calls. So I'll just pop the PDF into the chat. If you have any questions, just let me know, get in touch. I'll send a couple emails out about it. But I hope some of you will join me there. It's just also the graduate community is incredible. The Sacred Depth alumni, you will, just like the people here in this circle are amazing, you will meet a lot of incredible people in that circle. All right. Let's talk about ritual. I'm so excited for us to look at this today. And really with ritual, we're getting even more off the beaten path of traditional coaching. But I actually, many of you know, I started off as a ritualist. So all before getting trained and being a coach. And so everything that we learn in Sacred Depths, all the ways that I approach coaching and transformation and holding space are informed by ritual. And today, I really see ritual as one of the most powerful coaching, healing, facilitation tools that you can have for your clients and for yourself. And so today ritual in some ways has been embedded in a lot of everything we've looked at over these 10 months, but we're going to look specifically at ritual today. And of course, we could spend many, many months just on this topic alone, but we're going to spend just today on it to kind of get our feet wet. Even if you have experience with ritual, you're going to pick up different new things today. And Jennifer, just to answer your question, in that PDF that I dropped in the chat, I think all the dates are there. If not, I think they're all there, but I'll double check. If not, we'll get them to you. And especially, if you're in advanced, we'll send them out so you can put them on your calendar. Okay. When you use ritual with your clients, It is a way of tapping into the cognitive level of learning and processing, the emotional and heart level of learning and processing, the spirit level of learning and processing, and the somatic body level of learning and processing all at once. This is one of the magical things about ritual. It hits all four of the levels. And similar to journaling we looked at last week, it brings together a lot of different skills. And also you can do it in session with a client, like devote a session to a ritual. Or, and I do this more often, although I do have sessions with clients where we do ritual together, but more often what I'll do is use a session or part of a session to co-create and craft a ritual with my client. And then they may go off and do it on their own. And then we follow up on it. So it just depends, right, on the situation, always coaching the what based on the who. But let's take a step back first and define what is ritual. There are a lot of different ways that we can define it. For our purposes today, in this simple way, here are some ways that I want you to think about it or offer you to think about it. First, ritual is a way of making the intangible tangible. Ritual is a way of making the intangible tangible. So what I mean by that is ritual is a beautiful, elegant tool to support a client to take intangible things like commitments, desires to release something, wanting to start anew, wanting to connect with parts of themselves, et cetera, new ideas, new visions, right? These are all intangible things, okay, inside of us. A ritual is a way of taking an action and making that intangible thing tangible. And in doing this, in taking this action of making the intangible tangible, we are signaling to our psyche that we are ready to play this thing, whatever that intangible thing is, into being. And so that's another definition or way that I think about ritual. I learned this from my very first ritual mentor, Susan Mary Hellerer. She always used to say, ritual is sacred play. Ritual is sacred play. And how I understand that is, again, in ritual, we are playing ourselves into being, much like little kids play house or play doctor or library or right, whatever it is. And it's in the play that they're becoming more of who they are. Ritual is also an opportunity to create and be in sacred space. We could talk about this forever, but I'll just briefly say, it is my belief that in our modern patriarchal capitalist society, even when we know better, we don't create enough intentional and sacred space to be with ourselves, to be with spirit, to be with nature, right? To feel that connection just for the sake of being. And when we either take a coaching session for ritual with our clients or help them craft one and then, you know, have them go do it. It's an opportunity to simply just to receive from the experience of sacred space, which no matter what the ritual actions are, just on its own, to be in that space is so important. Similar to how we've looked so many times here in Sacred Depths, how there's the conversation going in a session, which is, you know, one thing the client is receiving, but then the container is the whole, right? That they're receiving from the container and the relationship with the practitioner. Well, when we create space for ritual, just that space itself is a container to receive from. And then, of course, it's an opportunity to connect with nature, with the cycles. And then the other thing that ritual can really do is give us an opportunity to mark important transitions, which are also often intangible, right? A birthday, a new job, an anniversary, a loss, becoming a mother, becoming a business owner, right? Whatever it is. So it's, you know, it helps us make those intangible things more tangible. I really, you know, and you can check this out for yourself, but I really feel like we don't have enough rituals in our lives and in our culture. Our culture has really become devoid of ritual. And I think that that contributes to so much of the lack of meaning that so many humans experience these days. And then also that lack of connection to self, to spirit, to nature. One of the things I often say is before therapy, there was religion. And before religion, there was ritual. All right, that was a mouthful. I'm going to pause on that. I'd love to hear some shares on what is sparking for you, what's resonating. Kristen is saying, yep, those transitions are rites of passage. Catherine's saying, I think that's one of the things that I find so powerful about coaching. It's a way of holding people through transition. Yeah, whereas we used to have those rites of passage, exactly. Mika, there are resource sheets for today. Lara, who posts them, it was just her birthday and she was out of town for the long weekend. So I'm guessing if they're not in the member center yet, it's just because she's catching up this morning. So I apologize for that. And they'll be there soon. And also as I'm listening to a share, I'd love to hear a voice-to-voice share. Let me see if I can also just pull it up. Okay, you'll check back later. Okay, good. I'd love to hear a voice. So far, it's just been my voice. I'd love to hear a voice. What is sparking for you on this? What is exciting to you about this? Even just, I don't know, I oftentimes find just talking about ritual, it evokes a feeling of ritual as well. Anyone want to share voice to voice? Who would like to? Kristen.
Of course, I'm going to want to share this. I'm literally starting priestess school in a couple of weeks. So yay! I'm super excited about this.
That's and awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, so ritual has been an important part of my life since I trained as a circle facilitator about 7 years ago. And I've been able to use it with some coaching clients. in particular, like one, she was working a lot with her anger, trying to become more comfortable with that. And we co-designed a ritual together that we did in my living room. And it was so powerful. And she told me afterwards that she has had lasting impact of feeling more comfortable with her experience of feeling that emotion and not being terrified of it and shutting it down and closing down herself.
Yes. Yeah.
We just created a space where she could just rage and feel it and like not have any need to tamp it down. It's very, very powerful tool.
Yeah, it is. I love that. I love that you're using that with clients. And I really want to underscore this piece that you're saying is she's told you that she hasn't forgotten it. It's still a touchstone for her. It has made lasting impact. And one of the, you know, the reasons are really so many things we already spoke about. It's the being in that held sacred space. It's the activating of the four levels of the learning and processing. You take it in a deeper way. Beautiful. And we don't like rituals. To me, I see them as special things. We're not going to do them every week with clients or even once a month. It's kind of like after a big piece, you know, we've been working on a big piece for a while, and it's a moment then for them to like make the next transition with it. Susan.
So sorry. I love rituals so much because I know that all the steps that you have taken, I can see everything that you're doing because you give us tools to get to this space, to get to that sacred space where we can pull off another layer. And having come from a traditional church background, I see the need for the divine female to come through in this way. Like last week when we were doing the practicum, the flow was not patriarchal whatsoever. It wasn't step by step, one, two, three. But it was bringing in with intuition the tools that you've given us to help not only ourselves, but there was a healing both of Catherine and, I forget her name. Catherine and
Lara.
That's right, Lara, which was so beautiful. And this is what we need as women. And I wanted to say too, that I honor the men that come into our presence and learn all of this. However, it's women teaching women. A man cannot teach this, I don't feel, because it's so feminine. However, the men who come in tap into the value of that feminine spirit. And I just want to say that it amazes me so much. My husband was a pastor and he just passed away in October. Bless him, because now he finally has peace. But what I have learned from the years of building churches and such as I have done, the Holy Spirit is the female. Mm-hmm. If you go through scripture, you can find so many scriptures, and he taught this, which was so amazing. However, and I know he hears me speak and blesses me from the other side because he knows it's true. Mm-hmm. The woman is coming through, but she's always been there. However, our vocabulary, our way of speaking is so tainted. I run circles of women, beautiful women I've met through the years, like in classes like we're taking, who I value. Oh my gosh, they're my treasures, right? Because they're like-minded. And through that, I see how we're healing ourselves by going within and finding our own power. So thank you very much for all you do.
I love witnessing your passion. I can just feel your passion and your commitment and the depth of all of this for you. And it brings up even more excitement. Thank you for sharing that. All right, I'll take one more for now. Maria.
This is really a question. Mm-hmm. I joined because you self-described as a ritualist. Like you described yourself as a ritualist. So I was like, oh, I'm going to join her stuff, you know? Because I would use the description word a ceremonialist. And then maybe somehow you're going to bring it in, but I'm so curious of the nuance between ritual and ceremony. And the, because to me they feel very different, but I would love to hear what this conversation has to say. And I was always curious of who is this Joanna calling herself a ritualist when she behaves like a ritualist and teaches us things that are ritual, but it's all encoded and embedded in, and it's not obvious. This is a circle, a ceremonial priesthood, like, because I'm in temples, you know, I'm in those trainings. And so they're called, we're called to walk as a priestess, right? But you didn't call us to do that, yet you're encoding us with ritual and saying you are, but without doing it obvious. So I'm just really curious. I'm just kind of picking apart and creating space. Maybe as you share, as this goes on, I would just like to kind of explore that.
I love all of that. You're making me chuckle too, because that's one of my stealth missions. So you're naming it. And I love this question of what's the difference between ritual and ceremony. I have thoughts on it, and it sounds like you have thoughts on it. Let's, like you said, let's see how it unfolds, and then let's circle back at the end and talk about it. Okay. So I wanted to just share. It's funny, this has to do with Maria's share and also with Susan's share. I just want to share a little bit about my origins as a ritualist, because I think it speaks to some of the things that we've been talking about so far. And I'll share really briefly. It was back in my 20s. I was living in New York City, my master's in art history. I had great job as a curator. I never thought, you know. And anyway, there's a place in New York called the Open Center, which some of you might know about. It's just it's an organization that teaches meditation classes and, you know, just different kinds of new agey classes. Anyway, I was leafing through their catalog one day, and I came across this 6-week course called Woman Ritual, one word, Woman Ritual. And it was a 3 or 4 sentence description of this class. I don't remember really what it said, other than women had been the keepers of the community rituals for millennia. But whatever these 3 or 4 sentences said, as I read them, I remembered something that I knew when I was a little girl that I had forgotten. And that is that the world is a magical place, and that each one of us is part of that magic. And I could feel it viscerally inside of me. And that was enough, even though I had no money back then, that was enough for me to, without even thinking about it, sign up for this woman ritual course. And over the course of those 6 weeks, started to learn about how women had been the keepers of ritual for millennia, started to learn about the cycles of the moon and the earth, little ritual pieces. And then without even blinking an eye, when that was done, I stepped into being an apprentice in that teacher's women's community. And then spent a number of years learning and apprenticing on all sorts of women's rituals, maybe ceremonies, we'll see, Maria. But new moons, full moons, earth holidays, cycles of life, mystery, blood mysteries, you know, all of it. But the truth is that even before that, I hadn't realized it, but ritual had already played a huge role in my life through Judaism. And so many of our religions, I'll speak just for Judaism, it's rich with ritual and so much meaning. And that was one of my most favorite things about the tradition, without even realizing that it was one of my most favorite things about the tradition. Maria, her name is Susan Mary Hellerer. You're not going to find her online. She's like a witch in a cave. You're not going to find her really too much online. She doesn't have a website or anything like that. Anyway, I could go on and on, but I'll just say that was a transition for me in my life. And I never thought I would leave the art world, but that led me to where I am with all of you today. And I've used ritual in so many different ways, not only professionally, so within coaching, leading also circles, as well as I was for a long time, I was a celebrant, I was a wedding officiant, officiant at funerals, et cetera, for people that really wanted to bring certain kind of meaning into those moments of transition. And then I've incorporated it into my own life in various ways. And I'll just share with you two different ways, just because I think it sparks ideas. One is I had, in some ways, I had my wedding ceremony had a lot of all the Jewish, traditional Jewish rituals in it, but being, who I am and all that I knew, I incorporated a couple of things to even heighten those rituals. So one is Jews get married under a wedding canopy called a chuppah. What we did before our wedding was we reached out to family and loved ones and asked them each for one word of what they wanted for us in our marriage. And then we had an artist paint all of those words onto the wedding canopy, and we got married underneath that. One other example, and this is a very, very personal one. Before I got pregnant with Penina, I had another pregnancy and I had a miscarriage, which was a lot, a really, really big loss. And but being the ritualist that I was, and I'm sorry, we're getting into some intimate details here, but being the ritualist that I was, I did think to catch some of the blood as I was miscarrying. And I kept it until I was ready to do a ritual to really honor that spirit and to honor the loss. And the short story of that ritual was I went to one of my favorite places upstate by this beautiful, massive rock and did a ceremony and ultimately buried that blood as an honoring. And, I'm sharing this very quickly, but I will tell you that absolutely that helped me process that experience. And it helped me have the courage to decide to try to get pregnant again. So I share just a little bit of this to for those of you, so many of you here already know, and then for those of you that are new to this, to say it is so powerful. And also, for as much as our culture is devoid of ritual, we do have rituals, right? Like blowing out birthday candles, graduation ceremonies, the handing of a diploma is making something intangible tangible, right? Blowing out candles, making a wish, it is making something intangible tangible, throwing a penny into a fountain, and asking for what you want, making the intangible tangible, right? Okay. So with all of that, like I said, we could spend forever, like so much on this. For today, what I think is most helpful is I'm going to talk a little bit about different kinds of rituals and some things that you can think about incorporating into those rituals for yourself, with clients. If we have time, we'll do like a case study ritual like we did with our journaling class, where I'll ask you to brainstorm. As we go into this, it is important to say this, and you can do your own research on this because I'm not an expert on it, but it's important to say a lot in our new age transformational culture, ritual gets discussed, and there's a lot of cultural appropriation inside of the rituals that are offered. It's important to not culturally appropriate, to honor traditions, to know what's yours to offer and what's yours not to offer. We're not going to have a discussion of it because that could take the whole rest of this class, but you can Google this, and there are a lot of different websites, particularly Native American websites, that are very clear and explicit on what cultural appropriation is and how to really honor traditions. Okay, so that being said, let's talk about different types of rituals. And again, Maria, I don't know, maybe these are ceremonies, but we'll see. Release rituals. And by the way, because my Virgo brain likes to compartmentalize, we're saying different things, but oftentimes powerful rituals can combine a few of these purposes at the same time. The way I was originally taught is any kind of ritual has three ritual actions inside of it. Release rituals. So you might be working with a client or for yourself, right? And they are ready to release something. Maybe a relationship that they've been clinging on to that is just no longer aligned for them. Maybe a job that they're ready to move on from. Maybe a habit that is not working for them anymore. Maybe a belief, right? Maybe you've been working over a number of sessions on really rewiring a belief, and the rewiring is happening, and a ritual can be a moment to really mark that transition into the right, more fully releasing it. A divorce is a kind of release. So with releasing, and now almost always the ritual actions inside of a ritual, or I don't know, maybe a ceremony you can call it, oftentimes they're gonna involve the four elements, one of the four elements or more. So earth, fire, water, or air. Not always, but a lot of the times. So as an example, one way of releasing something is to burn, right, through fire. So if it's a belief, you can write it on a piece of paper and burn it. I'm sure we've all heard of like the mattress burning ceremonies with divorces, right? Just like set that symbol of the marriage, right? We're making something intangible, a marriage, tangible, the mattress, and then burning it, for example, right? Burying things involve the earth or soil. So similar to how I buried the blood after the miscarriage, burying stones, collecting flowers or leaves, and then infusing whatever that thing is that you want to release, and then burying those things to, and the idea there is that the earth takes it with all of these things and alchemizes it, right? The fire alchemizes the thing, the earth uses it for whatever purpose it needs to through the release. Ripping things up. I once did a ritual with a client where she had an old blanket that symbolized a part of her relationship with her mother that she was really done with. And part of the ritual, like she cut and ripped, you know, piece by piece the yarn and the blanket and just watched it unravel. Super powerful. Flushing things down the toilet, water, any kind of water, throwing things into a body of water, watching them go down the drain, flush down the toilet, shaking things out, right? We do a lot of fun kind of shaking releases when I'm with people in person, in groups. Again, this is just a little bit of a survey through things. We could go much deeper into releasing, but what I'll say for right now, just one little tip, is whenever I'm working with a client on a release ritual, there are two things that I let them know. So one is sometimes when we do the release through the ritual, the thing is gone, right? Forever. And that's awesome when that happens. But other times, the release ritual is initiating the next level of release. So it's not that then the belief is completely gone, right? But it's a deeper invitation to the psyche and the heart, the soul, all of it, that I'm ready to be even more committed to the releasing of this thing. Does that make sense? The other little tip or flourish I'll add on releasing for right now is I find that it is really important to honor something before you release it. Even if you think it's the shittiest thing in the world and there's nothing to honor from it, what did you learn, right? That is an honoring. That sometimes comes up with like, ugh, that relationship was terrible and there isn't, right? But what did you learn about yourself that you can honor before we release this, as an example? By the way, that's why funerals, which are release rituals in a way, right? Not that we ever release another human being, of course, but who they were in their physical form. But that's, by the way, why funerals have eulogies. We need to honor a life before we can consider releasing what needs to be released. And let me pause on that. Thoughts, ideas that are sparking around release. We'll keep on going. Honoring rituals. By the way, as we look at these different types of rituals, you'll notice the four seasons in them. So, releasing, kind of like the winter, right? Letting go, creating space, just, for a new cycle to happen by letting go. Honoring rituals, I would put all in the same category. Honoring rituals, owning rituals, celebrating rituals. We're looking at the harvesting here, right? The autumn. So, moments for honoring rituals and owning, celebrating rituals is when it's time for a client to really own or honor either something that they've done or a part of themselves. So, for example, let's say a new program. If one of my clients, like they're creating programs, a new program was created and launched and filled. And it was something that was a huge labor of love for my client. They never believed that they would ever be able to do this thing. And they did it, and they've put so much of themselves into it. We might do an honoring ritual of that, a celebration ritual of that, so that they can more deeply embody and cement inside of themselves the accomplishment, so that they can have more of the pleasure and satisfaction of the accomplishment inside of themselves. I often, with clients, do queen rituals. This is honoring a part of themselves, like their mastery in something, or their brilliance in something, or how they've reclaimed their power around something. Can honor a new year. Birthdays are a beautiful time for honoring, owning, and celebrating. And part of that ritual can be releasing what from the year before do you want to release, right? So again, think about the four elements, think about nature and also beyond. I'll share, and right, and I should say also, sky's the limit. I mean, ritual can be so creative. I'm just naming a couple of things, but really, sky's the limit on what you can do and what you can create. And when I'm working with a client, I'm not going to just say, oh, hey, why don't you go burn that, right? Or this or that. Where I'm using all of my coaching skills to help them see what would be meaningful for them? What is a symbol? I might suggest a symbol to burn or to bury or whatever, but I'm going to ask first, what is a tangible symbol for you? How do you envision yourself releasing? I might offer some ideas, but we're always going with what they're drawn to, what their psyche is drawn to, what is going to be meaningful for them. I love it. And Maria's sharing in the chat. And please, anyone else that wants to share other ideas, because like I said, we're not getting, to all the different ideas, but releasing can be with environmentally safe balloons and lanterns that fly away. Yes. Susan is saying ritual is making inner space. So powerful. Yes. So I'll describe briefly one client in a queen ritual that we did. And this was completely, tailored to her. She was really ready to own. She had, at this point, she had built an incredible coaching business, and we had worked so much along the months of her feeling the confidence and really owning all of her mastery. And it was time to kind of embody it all in a ritual. And so I'll just give a couple light details of it. She wanted to start by drawing a bath with oils and before going into the bath, naming for herself the things that she was ready to release and cleanse herself of, that had her thinking she wasn't this incredible entrepreneur and practitioner that she was. And so she took this ritual bath and she cleansed herself. That's another category of ritual we could talk about. Cleansing, also different than releasing, but she cleansed herself. And then after the bath, she anointed different parts of her body with power. She anointed, you know, related to the chakras, her intuition and her third eye and her voice. And she really spent the time initiating each of these parts of her bodies, talking specifically about how she's using these different energy centers already in her work and how she's masterful. And then from there, she created a throne for herself, and she had decorated it and, you know, had an opportunity to ceremonially sit back in the throne, crown herself, and named herself the queen, the different things that she was queen of. So back to what I was saying before, sacred play, right? Playing ourselves into being. She was, had, now that, and this is important, that ritual wouldn't have had nearly as much meaning to it if A, it wasn't personalized for her, but B, we hadn't been doing work for months for her to be on this precipice, right? The reason why that ritual was so powerful was because it wasn't random or just like, oh, you want this? So then let's do that. There was work that was built in our coaching and in her own practice, right? That was building up to this ritual. Okay, I need to watch time because I, as we get into ritual, I could just keep on going on and on and on. Nisha's saying in the chat, thank you, Nisha. And this goes back to the cultural appropriation piece that I was talking about earlier. Nisha's saying, as someone who grew up Hindu and a culture that has been appropriated a lot, I think it's important to name how it's important to regard and consider the lineage and history of certain rituals if you use a deity. Yes, absolutely. And again, as I said before, I really recommend researching and learning, you know, learning more on this topic. Couple other just little ideas for now to get you thinking about honoring and owning and celebrating rituals. I gave some in that queen ritual. Creating a drawing or a piece of writing on a really pretty piece of paper to symbolize the thing that you're honoring, and then infusing energy into it. Buying a new piece of jewelry or picking a piece of jewelry that you already have and ritually infusing that piece of jewelry with the energy of the thing that you want to own, and then you get to wear it every day. Eating something. So one of the rituals we have in the Jewish tradition is on the Jewish New Year, we dip an apple in honey to symbolize a new year. And then you eat it to honor and celebrate the sweetness of the new year. In my family, we extrapolate, because I'm a ritualist, we extrapolate that ritual at the dinner table. Every person goes around and speaks to what it is that they want, you know, about their year that they're looking forward to, that they want to be sweet. And then they very intentionally dip the apple in the honey and really take the time to savor the sweetness. In wedding ceremonies, exchanging of rings is an honoring and owning ritual, right? It's symbolizing what this marriage is about and honoring this new commitment that's being made. Okay. Intention rituals. This is spring. Spring, the season of spring, right? New habits, new beliefs, new project, new relationship. So it's again a way of making something intangible, like those things that I just mentioned, tangible. Even house blessing ceremonies. Obviously, a house is a tangible thing, right? But back in the days where I used to do so much more of this with clients, like as the ceremonialist, we would go from room to room and honor each room with the four elements. And I would have the client would either have a specific candle that they bought for each room where they carved an intention for that specific room in. They'd light it, right? Like in the dining room, I want a lot of family and friends to come together over great meals, right? So anyway, why did I mention that? Oh, so anyway, even with a house, right? Okay, we're moving into a house. That's a tangible thing, but there's intangible desires and hopes and dreams that come with that, right? Same with a marriage. Yes, there's a marriage certificate that the state issues, but there are so many hopes and dreams and wishes that we can ritualize with that. So new intentions, we can create an object. So is there something that can be created, whether it's a picture or a drawing or a craft or a sculpture or, you know, whatever it is that symbolizes, the new intention? You can buy a vase and fill the vase intentionally with the new intentions. Candle carving, like I just mentioned, and then sometimes we'll anoint the candle with oil ceremonially and then light the candle. And then you light the candle. Every time you light it, it re-sparks the new intention. Planting seeds, right? The seeds become the intention of the new thing. And then you plant them and then you get to water them over time. Drawing symbols on rocks for new intentions, etc. I know I'm moving quick, but I'm gonna keep on going. One more type of ritual for now. I mentioned earlier cleansing rituals. So similar to release, but I see them as a little bit different. Release is like we're getting rid of this thing. Cleansing is we're washing ourselves of this thing. You can use water to cleanse. You can use incense and air to cleanse. This is like some kitchen witchery, but you can use some little brooms or dusters, dust things off yourself and others that are ready, right? Mika's saying smudging, like literally cleaning out drawers can become a ritual of cleansing and making way for new. Okay, let me pause on that. There's some other things that I want us still to take a look at Kristen, I'd say cleansing is probably still winter. I didn't really speak to a summer type of ritual here, which would be around growth. So it's kind of like on the cusp of the intention rituals. What is something new that you want to grow? All right, let me pause on all of this. I'd love to hear what's sparking for you so far. What's coming together, Bruce?
So I had to take a couple breaths around this, quite a few breaths around this. Had to call it out because I'm very passionate about this. I work with both male and female clients in many different ways. And, we talk about energetics as the basis of our practice. And I know I grew up with five older sisters, right? So I'm very used to this environment that I'm in today or have been in Sacred Depths. And most of the trainings I take, I am the minority. From a gender standpoint, right? But I can also be seen as having privilege, male, white, all of that, comes to mind. But I really felt like I needed to call this out today because I think it's important that all of us are aware of our biases when it comes to coaching. And gender bias can be very underneath the surface. Like I said, I work with both men and women. I work with a lot of men on getting to a place of getting connected to themselves emotionally, getting connected to that spirit inside of them, right? Getting to connected or allowing for that back to that connection of who they are, which includes ritual, right? Which includes spirit. We all have that within us. It's not male or female, it's yin or yang. We all have both of those in us. And I needed to call it out today because, I do a lot of tapping and I've just been here tapping. I needed to calm down a little bit because it's something that I'm working with both men and women on is to recognize that, because it creates this divide between us. And I hear it come up sometimes. And it really, I needed to honor it within myself.
Yes.
And I love ritual, right? And it deeply pains me when I hear females have more spirituality or then, yeah, there may be parts of that they're definitely more into ritual than men. But trust me, men want it just as much. But we've been culturalized to not allow for it.
Yes.
So I want to just leave that with, I needed to say that. I needed to call it out. I believe we all have both yin and yang energy with us. I've worked with women who struggle to get there with ritual, to struggle to get to their emotions
Yes.
more than some of the men I've worked with who are very, So I wanted to call out that bias because we talk about it and we talked about it from the very beginning, Joanna, and I love the fact you talked about the energetics, but it's just really a bias that I think I always want to be aware of.
Yeah.
Thank
Thank
you
you
for
so much.
indulging me in that.
Of course, not indulging at all. Thank you for sharing it. Thank you for being willing to take the deep breaths and to share it. And I want to apologize if I said anything that activated or triggered that for you. I agree with you 100%. I'm sure I have biases that still need to be looked at inside of me. And when I was talking about woman ritual, it's because that is the tradition that I learned in was the women's rituals. But I so appreciate you sharing this and inviting all of us to look more deeply at those biases. And thank you for sticking with it and the class and being willing to share.
Yeah, I'm fine with all of that space, and thank you for calling that out. It's important for me it's something that I'm really passionate about and that I work with all the time. So I needed to, something I'm trying to work with men and women
I
to.
believe all genders need this work, and all genders have the capacity for this work. Culture has maybe molded some more than others, for sure. Yeah, and it's important to honor the full spectrum of the experience, while also honoring that, but maybe because of culture historically, that has been a contribution of women as well. Thank you. I feel so grateful that we have a space here where we can call out and call in. It feels so important. Okay. So I want to make sure that there are a couple other things I want to make sure we lightly touch on today about ritual. One is containers. So I ritual works even better when there is a container around it that really separates in some ways, in many ways, there's no separation between the sacred and the mundane because everything is sacred. And I also look, I see ritual as kind of an elevated an opportunity for an elevated experience that looks and feels different than the everyday. So, the best way I can kind of metaphorically explain, hopefully you all understand what I mean by this, but the best way I can metaphorically explain this is in Jewish culture, before a Sabbath or a holiday, we take a moment to light candles at the begin on the eve of it. And the lighting of the candles is about bringing in light and fire and all of that, but it is also an action where we're making the intangible tangible. We're separating the sacred and the mundane. We're creating sacred space. And so, along those lines, I recommend whatever ritual you are crafting or leading or whatever it is to think about. What is the container that you're going to set for that ritual? Will it be in a special room? Will you, when I do my own personal ritual, I have a space in my bedroom. I put a pillow on the floor. I light a candle. Is it about taking breaths to come in to that held space? Is it about reading something inspirational that creates a different mood? Is it about putting twinkly lights around the room? But how are you creating a container that also is a little bit of a physical container as well, not just internally, that can help hold the work of that ritual? Let me pause on that. Any thoughts or questions on that? That makes sense. Okay. So in the time that we have, let's open up for thoughts or questions. So Maria, this would be a good moment to come back to ritual versus ceremony, or any other thoughts or questions that are coming up, or ideas, inspired ideas, or if you want to share a ritual that you've done for yourself or with a client or a group. Maria.
Well, just right there, your last little piece about lighting the candle and the breath. I really feel like it's calling in the divine, like recognizing that it's here and like presencing and like bringing the divine into the space. It's always there, but just like you said, just really almost like invoking it almost and like connecting to the three. We always connect to the earth and to the divine and to the nature, and then being that and like presencing it and like sending your love into that space far before somebody else comes. But I kind of really feel like more importantly than that is what's happening. What I'm feeling is this, what Bruce brought in and what Susan is saying in the chat. I feel like that's kind of more important, because what we can go through right here is a real life healing and a real life coming to on the same page of something. And so like my heart is a little bit beating because I'm presencing the divine, and in our circle right now, there is something that's being touched. And I feel like since we're in ritual and we're talking about it, it's almost a great space for all this to unfold. Yeah. Yeah. So I just feel like there is another piece that Susan is about to bring into. And so there is part of that. And I will just say briefly, I've worked mainly with women, probably mainly because I work with blood mysteries. I work in the womb. I work with like menstrual and birth and blood, and men are a huge part of it, but they kind of don't really want to be in the womb temple all the time with me. But when we're doing Qigong and stuff, that's a whole different thing. But I always bring the womb front and center as like the center point. It's my access to all these places. So it's an interesting place that I find, and I realize I push away men because I don't know that they really want to be in the place I actually want to go. And so I don't know if I can go there with a, you know. So that's why I tend to work mainly with women, but I see it really hurting me. I see it really cutting me off from love. I can consciously notice that I'm separating an aspect and I'm not connecting with them on the assumption that they wouldn't want to go into the blood mystery where I want to go and where they are from. They are from the blood. They are through the same river is within them. And so it's within my own self I'm creating these divides. And so I'm going to stop talking.
Yeah, now. No, I'm so glad you're bringing all of that forward. I think those are great just additions, or, you know, from what Bruce brought up, this whole, and I know, Golda, you want to share also, and we'll make space for that in a moment. And I'll just say, like, this whole thing is also two things on this. One, is also to remember that, not to think in the binary when it comes to gender, that there is a whole spectrum. And I think Bruce said this, that we all hold all of the qualities. Some might be more predominant in some moments than others, et cetera. But just for us to watch for any binary on that. And all of this is reminding me, I didn't include it in this cycle of sacred depths, but I will put it in the member center for all of you. One of our graduates, Stanley, I can never pronounce their last name. It is a Polish last name that I can't pronounce. But Stanley, one cycle, this is their work, is to really look at gender bias. And they created for Sacred Depth, and I've used the recording for a few cycles, just ways of going deeper into looking at gender bias. So I will include that in the member center. And also it's time for me to give it a re-listen as well for myself. So I'm so glad that this is being brought up. Golda.
Yeah, I think what I'm taking away from this conversation is permission. Like I live in ceremony, and I do ceremony every month with my moon blood. I've done just so much. And it's touching me in a way to like bring my authenticity of who I am more into my coaching sessions, appreciating the like encouragement and suggestion. Cause it's so meaningful, and it's who I am. So I'm grateful. Yes. For that.
Yeah. Yes. I'm so happy to hear it. And I think it's who so many of us are. Maybe we just haven't had the time and space or the permission to tap into it. Beautiful. Who else? What wants to be shared? What wants to be spoken or asked? What's feeling exciting, or what do you want to add to the conversations that we've been having? Kristen.
Yeah, I want to speak for a moment to what Bruce has shared. I feel because there has been such a suppression of the feminine and such a devaluation of the feminine that we're seeing a massive wave and a rise of awareness and of pro-feminine spiritual practices. That seems like it's displacing the masculine, but I feel like it's part of the journey into us finding a balance between the wholeness of the masculine feminine dichotomy and blending and integration. And thank you for speaking to the pain that this has been for you. And I want, like, we have to honor that. Like, men have been devalued just as much by the patriarchal capitalistic system that we have been part of. They have been stripped of their sacred masculinity. They have been stripped of the ritual. They've been stripped of their authentic power in the sacred masculine, just as much as the women have been. But then they've been pedestalized and put into the positions of power without the spiritual and energetic strength that they need to do it wisely. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have had so much just awful stuff going on in the world. So I like feel like as women, we're helping to bring back the sacred in a very different way, but we also need the men who are in alignment with this movement and this growth to also ground in the sacred masculine energies. And I just feel like that's really, really powerful and very important.
Thank you so much for speaking to that. And one of the many things I hear from that is, how do we hold both? How do we hold this honoring of the women to create balance while also still honoring the men, you know, and the full spectrum and everybody's place in it? Thank you. I feel like we have time for one more share, if there's one more voice that wants to be heard. And again, I'm so, so grateful for the conversation. Any last share? Feels like there's one more thing that wants to be spoken. I just want to make space.
Oh, I'll speak. I think you didn't see my hand.
Sorry.
Oh, it's all fine. And I really appreciate Kristen sharing as well. And so what I have to offer is a little bit on a lighter note. I always find it fascinating to look into some of the etymology of words. And so it got me curious, and I just looked up the background of ritual and ceremony, which are used interchangeably a lot. But I was just fascinated by a couple little things I thought I'd share. And one is that although both words came like in the Middle Ages from Old French and before that from Latin, that the ritual meaning done as a rite, the Latin word that came from, oh, I thought I jotted it down and now I don't see it. It was the base of arithmetic. So the rite, R-I-T, that's in arithmetic it's about something done as a sequence. And that's cognate with like old German, rim for sequence or number. So I just thought that was kind of fascinating. And then the word ceremony was defined as like a rite or ritual, but particularly the meaning of the Latin meaning of ceremonia was something done with reverence and sanctity. And that it was, there's also an Etruscan city, Cere, capital of Etruria, that was associated with that. So that was just some of the historical background. That just a way to give a little context to both words.
Yes, I love it. I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. And that makes me think that, according to that, what we've really been looking at today is more ceremony than ritual. If ritual is about this sequence that you do over and over again, that it like becomes kind of a sacred habit versus in different moments, kind of creating from scratch something very personalized, doesn't have that arithmetic sequence.
Right. And of course, meanings of words do change. They sometimes flip inside out and become their opposite over time. But
yes, for sure. I love it. Yeah. Thank you so much for doing that.
You're so welcome.
And so that gets to just one other little piece that to think about. We've been looking at rituals, like we said, or ceremonies, I'll say now, created for a particular, they're kind of a one-time thing for a particular transition. But with our clients, we can also think about, are there rituals, more things that they, do more than once that support them to create the intangible, tangible? That's why people have meditation practices, for example. But we can also think about these rituals that we're talking about as, is there a way to ritualize them more than once? Small things that will work, that kind of signaling to the psyche on a regular basis. Awesome. All right. I hope that whether you have a lot of experience with all of this, or this is something new that today is activating, whatever the next level or evolution or commitment is for you around this. I'm sending you all lots of love. And if anything comes up during the week, let me know, or else I'll see you next week.